Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Rizal Zulkapli dan ini Niaga Awal. Ini kita mulakan dengan perkembangan pasaran saham serantau, saham di pasaran Asia Pasifik bercampur dalam dagangan pagi Isnin dengan data keuntungan perindustrian China untuk Mei memperlahan. Bursa Malaysia dijangka catat dagangan berhati-hati minggu ini susulan kekurangan pemangkin utama untuk mempengaruhi minat risiko pelabur. Menurut ahli ekonomi Bank Islam Malaysia Berhad Adam Muhammad Rahim, FBM KLCI dijangka bergerak pada paras semasa antara 1,560 mata dengan 1,580 mata minggu ini.
Beliau berkata pelabur kini tertumpu kepada mesyuarat pertubuhan negara-negara pengeksport petroleum OPEC yang dijadualkan pada 1 Julai. Anggota OPEC dijangka berbincang untuk melonggarkan lagi pengurangan pengeluaran susulan permintaan minyak bagi bulan-bulan akan datang diunjurkan tinggi. OPEC dijangka meningkatkan kadar pengeluaran selepas Menteri Minyak India mendesak pertubuhan itu menghentikan kekangan pengeluaran minyak mentah kerana harga yang tinggi akan mengakibatkan inflasi. Adam berkata dari sudut ekonomi pula, pelabur di Malaysia akan menumpukan angka ekspor bagi Mei pada hari ini yang dijangka mencatatkan pertubuhan tahun ke tahun sebanyak 2 digit. Beliau berkata data indeks harga pengeluar IHPR Malaysia bagi Mei juga akan dikeluarkan pada Rabu ini dengan pertubuhan indeks itu akan menjejaki aliran IHPR China. Data ekonomi utama yang lain dari negara berlainan termasuk indeks harga pengguna Thailand, Korea Selatan dan Jerman bagi Mei dengan kadar inflasi dijangkakan lebih tinggi susulan kenaikan harga komoditi global baru-baru ini.
Dan kebimbangan terhadap perkembangan faktor luaran akan terus memainkan peranan besar dalam menentukan kedudukan ringgit minggu ini. Ini dengan pelabur memantau perkembangan terbaru di Amerika Syarikat.
Menurut ahli ekonomi Bank Islam Malaysia Berhad, Muhammad Afzan Nizam Abdul Rashid, perbincangan mengenai pengurangan kuantitatif Amerika yang mungkin akan berulang dari semasa ke semasa menyebabkan pasaran pertukaran mata wang tidak stabil dalam masa dekat ini. Tambahnya, pasaran akan melihat indikator sentimen perniagaan seperti indeks PMI Institut Pembekalan Amerika untuk pembuatannya dijangka sekitar 61 mata untuk Jun daripada 61.2 mata pada bulan Mei. Menurutnya, jumlah pekerjaan di Amerika juga akan menjadi tumpuan seperti data senarai gaji bukan ladang yang dijangka lebih tinggi bulan ini berbanding bulan lalu dan kadar pengangguran yang mungkin turun kepada 5.7% pada Jun. Untuk minggu yang baru berakhir, dolar Amerika dan mata wang Asia tidak mengalami pembetulan ke paras yang ketara. Ringgit, baht Thailand dan rupiah Indonesia hampir tidak menghasilkan keuntungan sama sekali walaupun won Korea Selatan dan peso Filipina alami kerugian.
Dan kontrak niaga hadapan minyak sawit mentah di Bursa Malaysia Derivatives dijangka didagang dalam jajaran kecil minggu ini. Ini berikutan kekurangan pemangkin bagi memacu pergerakan komoditi itu di pasaran.
Menurut peniaga kanan minyak sawit Interbank Group of Companies, Jim Teh, ini juga berdasarkan keadaan pasaran lebih lengang serta ketiadaan sambutan atau perayaan utama pada minggu-minggu akan datang. Kontrak MSM dijangka diniagakan dalam jajaran RM3,200 hingga RM3,300 satu tan. Sementara itu, peniaga minyak sawit David Ng jangka dagangan niaga hadapan MSM cenderung negatif. Beliau berkata ini berdasarkan prospek peningkatan pengeluarannya berkemungkinan menyebabkan paras stok keseluruhan di negara ini meningkat. Dalam pada itu, penyelidikan MIDF menjangkakan harga MSM susut pada separuh kedua 2021 berikutan pemulihan pengeluaran disokong keadaan cuaca lebih baik sekaligus meningkatkan paras stok. Menurutnya, peningkatan pengeluaran kacang soya juga berkemungkinan memberi impak negatif ke atas harga MSM berikutan tindakan Jabatan Pertanian Amerika Syarikat menaikkan unjuran pengeluaran kacang soya Brazil sebanyak 1 juta tan kepada 137 juta tan. Harga MSM amat berkait rapat dengan minyak kacang soya kerana kedua-dua komoditi itu kerap dijadikan pengganti bagi satu sama lain dalam industri pengeluaran makanan.
Dan seterusnya, untuk membincangkan berkenaan dengan kadar inflasi dan juga tindakan Bank Pusat di serata dunia serta PKP di dalam fasa satu ketika ini, kita bersama dengan Shan Syed, Ketua Pakar Ekonomi Juwai IQI. Shan, thank you for joining us. Shan, first of all, the Fed Chairman made two statements on June 16 and June 22nd saying that the Fed will raise discount rates in 2023 and inflation numbers are getting higher. Confusing statements for market and market players. Do you think you have been saying since last September that price inflation numbers are serious? What's your position now?
Absolutely, Rizal. Inflation is getting very serious. And if you pick up the latest issue of Economist magazine where the Fed chair was giving his testimony to Congress, he has admitted that inflation numbers are serious, but we are not going back to 1970s inflation. But in my opinion, we are heading to the same era, and history is repeating itself after 51 years, because if you look at inflation numbers in US is 5%, in Canada it's 3.4%, in UK it's over 3%, and in Europe it's over 2%. So because of the printing money that has been done by the global central banks in the last 13 years, inflation has finally showing its head. And because of this inconsistent statement, look at the market. Copper prices went down by 8%, lumber prices went down by 15%, and S&P went down by 2%. So when you make these inconsistent and those statements that are not in line with market forces, you invite risk market. So I can foresee four risks that are coming into market. Mm-hmm. One is the systematic risk, hike in interest rate and inflation. The second is the sovereign global bond risk. You know, a lot of bonds are having problems. Look at Italy. The third is the liquidity risk. Once Fed stops printing money and QE stops, there will be liquidity crisis. And finally, equity markets are all-time high. So there will be a fair valuation risk that are heading in the markets very soon in the next 12 to 17 months.
And Shan, you mentioned about the confusing statements by the Fed, and also perhaps Janet Yellen has contributed to that as well. But how are market players and businesses and consumers preparing for this interest rate hike that has been moved up? And also, what kind of clarity can all these different parties provide, looking at how things are developing really fast right now?
Rasal, if you ask me honestly, market is divided. People are not sure. Investors are a bit confused. And it has been reported in last week Wall Street Journal, where it says that market is totally confused. And because of this confusing statement, look at the shorter dated bond market. It went up from 0.16 to 0.27. Mm-hmm. And the share market tumbled. So when you make these confusing statements, businesses are not prepared. Businesses are still thinking that economy will recover at much faster pace, which is a huge question mark. If you look at last month's number, the credit card transactions have gone down. The consumer sentiments are still very bearish. They are not very positive. Mm-hmm. So I would say 50-50%. Some consumers are, or investors are hopeful, but 50% of the consumers and investors are not very hopeful, and they still think that global economy will not recover before 2023.
And do you think the Fed has lost control of the market? And you've shared with us the last time about the 1970s style stagflation, which the Fed chair is denying. How will stagflation perhaps affect the recovery process in the U.S.?
Absolutely, Rizal. The Fed chair has actually lost control of the market. And once you start denying something, it means that is coming into the market. And inflation numbers, as you said, you know, inflation numbers are very serious. And when you have a wrong-footed monetary policy that gives a wrong indication to market players that we will increase interest rates, you made a statement on 16 June, and after 6 days, you made a statement, oh, no, we will wait and we will have patience for the monetary policy. So I think for market investors, this is very confusing. And this clearly demonstrates that Fed chair has zero confidence and he's sending wrong signals to the market. I wouldn't be surprised if Fed chair, he gets panicky and he will raise the interest rate by May 2022.
Shan, but what about other central banks? Recently, central banks in Brazil, Hungary and also the Czech Republic have raised their discount rates. What's the outlook for China and Russia and you know, countries in Southeast Asia? Any significant development globally when it comes to rising or increasing the interest rate?
Yes, Rizal, you're absolutely right. Recently, Hungary, Brazil and Czech Republic, the central banks have increased the discount rate because these central banks are worried, because most of the developing countries worry that a more hawkish Fed will cause the currencies to weaken. That will cause inflation. And look at Brazil. The government has done a poor job in controlling COVID. They're having terrible situation. And from 3.5%, they have raised discount rate to 4.25%. So obviously, many of the central banks, especially in the developing countries, they are worried. But most importantly, the big development that is happening is in Russia. As you know, Russia has got $120 billion of sovereign wealth fund. and they have moved those funds from US dollar, and they are going 40% in euro, 30% in Chinese yuan, and 20% in gold and 10% in other currencies. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a major move in the market. And the central bank governor of Russia, Alvira Nabilina, she's a very smart woman who is holding the fort since 2013. She has made the right call since 2016 when she offloaded her U.S. Treasury and she was going long on gold. And many people criticized Alvira for a move. But now I think time has come that everybody is appreciating. Eventually, China and Russia, they will move away from U.S. dollar hegemony and they will support Chinese yuan. As I said in one of your previous interviews, the digital yuan is coming by February 2022 by Winter Olympics. China will announce the commencement of digital yuan in the global economy.
Sean, let's move on to Malaysia. First, the GDP numbers you shared in your newsletter in January of 2021, that Malaysia's GDP would be between about 3-4%, while the World Bank said 9%, IMF projected to it to be around 7%. Now, all these institutions are revising their forecast downward. Saying 4.5%, why have you stuck with your forecast, which is getting more pragmatic and perhaps realistic more, especially after the MCO 3.0?
Rizal, when we made our forecast for Malaysia for this year, and it is reported in our newsletter, our assumption was based, if you recall, Bill Gates saying since last June, that there will be second and third wave coming into the global economy. And there will be vaccines delay, and there will be bottlenecks in the supply chain. So looking at the global macro picture, we came up with an analysis that Malaysia's GDP will be between 3-4%. Economist magazine said Malaysia's GDP will be 5%. So I think our forecast were more or less the same level with Economist magazine. Taking into account, many economies are not open, they are still closed, and they have failed to get vaccines. They are having problems, unlike Asia or ASEAN or in China, where vaccine process is speeding up. So our focus was based on looking at the global macro picture rather than following the U.S. economic recovery.
And Sean, we now learn that the current MCO will be extended until the three goals are fulfilled. Or, you know, I think the Prime Minister has reworded that to make people understand that the current MCO is or will be extended until the three points or goals are fulfilled. Will this perhaps affect consumer and business sentiment?
Yes, Rizal, obviously many businesses, especially the Manufacturing Association, expected that the government will open the economy after 28 June. However, the cases are still above 5,500 and government has put a threshold. Once the cases go below 4,000, they will move into phase two. Tomorrow, I think everybody is expecting the Honorable Prime Minister will announce some package that will be targeted for B40 and M40 and SMEs. So government is cognizant of the fact that they can't keep the economy locked down for long and they want to open up so that the momentum is generated. And we at UIIQI, we still believe that in the next 5 months, starting from August till December, the domestic demand will pick up sharply and our GDP forecast remains intact for the rest of the year.
But what is supporting this domestic demand that you said will pick up sharply? And on top of that, the Prime Minister will announce, as you said, a new age in the coming days, perhaps today or tomorrow. What do you hope to see?
I think if you look at major economies, once they open up, the domestic demand picks up very sharply, historically speaking. Number two, if you look at export orders, despite the lockdown, because globally, despite the global economy slowing down, Malaysia's export numbers are still very positive and very attractive. FDI is still coming into the economy despite all the challenges, despite all the fragilities in the global economy. The reason is very simple. Major economies like in Europe or UK, their manufacturing is still closed. So who is open? China is open. China is still exporting to the world. ASEAN is open. ASEAN is still exporting to the world. So the major movement of economies are happening in Asia, in ASEAN, and in China. So I think these economies will pick up very sharply. Plus, it all boils down to saving. People have enough saving to boost consumption. So consumption combined with investment plus export, these four factors will bring GDP to a healthy level at the end of the year.
On that note, thank you very much, Shan. Saya Ketua Pakar Ekonomi Jual AQI memberikan pandangan berkenaan dengan inflasi dan juga keadaan PKP ataupun fasa satu dalam pemulihan ataupun pelan pemulihan yang diteruskan sehingga mencapai sasaran yang ditetapkan. Kita akan teruskan berhenti berehat di sini dan kembali selepas ini.